plate a potential nugget.
Diving into the book, Aishe, before we dive into the framework you have, I think the one story that stood out for me, or one example, was of Nelson Mandela. You know, in the book you refer to him and you call him a master designer of life. You know, I've seen a lot of people use a lot of different adjectives on Mandela, but master designer is not one of them. Can you say more about why you think he's a great designer of life?
Absolutely. I think because of the way he reinvented his life again and again, and how he went from a lawyer and a political activist to being a prisoner, and then coming out of prison and going back into politics and then becoming the president of his country. And through it all, I mean, these are major life changes. Hmm. And through it all, he seemed to never lose his optimism, his humanity, his empathy for himself and for other people, and how he turned challenges into opportunities. And these are truly the principles of thinking like a designer that I talk about in my book. And I feel like he embodied these, and he never gave up, and he never lost sight of who he was, and he was always at the service of other people. So that's why I thought, you know, his life could have turned in so many different ways, but he just, he redesigned his life again and again, without losing sight of his values. That to me made him a master designer.
I like your choice of
words. In addition to all his other qualities, sorry. Saying in addition to all his other qualities.
This nugget from Aishe about Nelson Mandela reminds me of my conversation with Dr. Ramachandra Guha about Mahatma Gandhi. A couple of things in the conversation get triggered. One is the point around how experimentative Gandhiji is with his beliefs.
I think, of course, there was diet, there was medicine, and then there was sex or celibacy. So there were these three main obsessions. Well, there was a fourth, which is interfaith harmony, which we've not talked about, which is some ways the most important. What kind of Hindu was he? But we can talk about that later. Now, in terms of his personal idiosyncrasies and eccentricities, he experimented a great deal with diet. So it was, what should we eat? What is good? What is bad? What is healthy? What is unhealthy? What excites the senses? What does not excite the senses?
And it seems like a very scientific trial and error kind of thing.
Then there was medicine, where he went from being someone who opposed modern medicine to someone who saw a place for it, particularly after he had two surgeries that saved his life, one for pines and one for peritonitis. So he adopted a more plural, pragmatic approach to medicine. And then there was celibacy, which is the most peculiar and bizarre thing, where he was so obsessed with celibacy that he conducted this strange and notorious experiment of testing it by sleeping with his grandniece, which I described.
Just before, the year before independence.
Which I described in a chapter in my book. And that came from some peculiar belief that if you are sexually pure, you can control society and tame the passions. That if you tame the passions within you, you can tame the passions outside. Hindus and Muslims are seeing each other. Observed, and also I say a manifestation of vanity. That if he is sexually poor, Indians will stop fighting among each other, right? So then there is, in terms of his inner journey, his religious journey, which is very interesting and very novel and worth spending time on and rediscovering. So Gandhi was a Hindu, and he even called himself a Sanatani Hindu, but he was a very special kind of Hindu. For one thing, his Hinduism did not require a shrine to express itself. So in adult life, he attended, he went to a temple only once, which is the Madurai temple in Meenakshi, because they had finally admitted Dalits. The kingdom of God was within him, Ram was in his heart. So that's the first aspect of Hinduism. Faith is within you. It's inside. You don't need a church or a mosque or a temple.
The other piece that stood out for me in my conversation with Dr. Guha is the point he makes about the fluidity of how Gandhiji thought about his identity. He didn't quite confine himself to any one particular box.
So I think it's best to read out just three paragraphs in my book.
Okay.
To explain how Gandhi himself saw his multiple callings.
Uh-huh.
So here I'm reading out Gandhi. Mm-hmm. It is what I say about Gandhi, and then there's a quote of Gandhi in between.
Sure.
To deliver India from British rule was by no means Gandhi's only preoccupation. The forging of harmonious relations between India's often disputatious religious communities was the second. The desire to end the pernicious practice of untouchability in his own Hindu faith was a third. And the impulse to develop economic self-reliance for India and moral self-reliance for Indians was a fourth. These campaigns were conducted by Gandhi in parallel. All were to him of equal importance. In 1933, he wrote to a close friend that, quote, "My life is one indivisible whole. My life is one indivisible whole. I cannot devote myself entirely to untouchability and say, neglect Hindu-Muslim unity or Swaraj. All these things run into one another and are interdependent. You will find that one time in my life, an emphasis on one thing, at another time on another. But that is just like a pianist, now emphasizing one note and now another. But they are all related to one another." End of quote. And this is what I say in the end. For Gandhi, political independence meant nothing at all unless it was accompanied by religious harmony, caste and gender equality, and the development of self-respect in every Indian. Other patriots had used the Hindi word Swaraj to signify national independence. Gandhi made Indians aware of its true or original meaning, Swaraj or self-rule.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So that is Gandhi in his own words. And that's also why, as I told you a little while ago, I don't believe in saying this is the most important thing, this is the only cause, this is the one route to success. You know, Gandhi conducted these multiple careers and saw them of equal importance. And at different times, different aspects of his work came into the forefront, others receded, then those came into the forefront, and so on.
Three things stand out for me from my conversation with Dr. Guha. One is the very scientific approach that Gandhiji had to life and how he conducted many experiments. Second is the fact that he was not fixated about his beliefs and was willing to evolve them. And third, he didn't box himself by any single identity. He was really fluid about who he was at different points in time. If this is of interest, you might also like the conversation with Vinay Sitapati at the podcast, where he speaks about Narasimha Rao. That conversation is a masterclass in leadership under constraints. Thank you for listening.